Green Bay and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Everyone survived. The Japan Airlines Airbus A350 was landing at Haneda Airport in Tokyo on a flight from Sapporo when, as local video shows it, a large burst of fire erupted from the side of the plane, the fire eventually engulfing the entire aircraft. Japan Airlines says all 400 passengers and crew got out. Cause of the blaze is unknown. An FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force is leading the investigation after a deadly vehicle crash in Rochester, New York that turned out to be more.
That crash impact so intense it pushed vehicles into other cars and people outside a New Year's Eve celebration near Rochester, New York's Kodak Center. Rochester Police Chief David Smith says they then found something suspicious.
First responders located at least a dozen gasoline canisters.
The Joint Terrorism Task Force now investigating whether this was a planned terror attack that killed two people and injured five others in Rochester, New York. Andy Field, ABC News.
This is ABC News. Iowa's caucuses in the New Hampshire primary coming up this month. Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis hoping for strong second-place finishes.
These first two contests will be so crucial for Haley and DeSantis to prove whether they can actually compete against Trump. The DeSantis team is telling me they are confident in his grassroots ground game there in Iowa. They are pointing to all the time that the governor has spent in the state, and they say they're in it to win the Iowa caucuses.
ABC's Mary Alice Parks. He helped found the soul jazz genre of music. Les McCain died.
Everybody now trying to make it real compared to what...
The vocalist and self-taught pianist won a singing contest in the Navy and appeared on The Ed Sullivan Show. Quincy Jones and Miles Davis were among his legion of admirers. McCain, best known for the funky protest anthem Compared to What... He died Friday in Los Angeles, a week after being hospitalized with pneumonia. Les McCann was 88. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Sunshine and a little breezy this morning. It is going to become mostly cloudy as we head through the afternoon. Our high today, 34, with wind out of the southwest gusting to 25 or 30 this morning, backing off to 5 to 15 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 26 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun, a few flurries with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Mino and the Mayor.
How many calories or how many steps? Todd and I talked about that,
right,
didn't we?
We got to do that. And then we'll do a contest. We'll have people guess what that might be. And then the closest one without going over, like Bob Barker, we'll give them a
right. Okay. Yeah. So we have to have the betting line on the over-under on that, right?
I don't know how that works.
But we know a two-hour radio show burns 8.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
1670 AM, The Zone. We survived rusty playgrounds, no helmets, and drinking from the hose. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Happy New Year. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, and what a privilege to be kicking off 2024 with you on the Midwest Farm Report. And I'd say so far so good with that Packers win on New Year's Eve. When it comes to the weather, my news is less cheerful. We'll see lots of clouds in southern Wisconsin this week with temperatures hovering above freezing. Today, we'll see highs around 35 degrees, winds moving at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, the clouds are going to linger and bring lows of 27 degrees. Winds will slow to 5 to 10. For those of us looking to get out on the ice or the ski hills, we may see temperatures or precipitation ideal for outdoor activities into next week. We'll get more of those details from Stu Muck later in the hour. In other news, today is National Cream Puff Day. But this year, it means a little more. The Wisconsin State Fair and Original Cream Puffs are also celebrating the 100th anniversary celebration of the iconic Cream Puff. It is the most popular food item among state fairgoers. And while the state fair is 8 months away, the entire bakery team is already gearing up for the anniversary. You can expect fun, new flavors, and exciting events coming down the line. You can learn more about what to expect and when at MidwestFarmReport.com. We've got more to look forward to on the show this morning. John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing joins us live with what we can expect in terms of market trends coming out of the holiday break. But before that, we'll get insight into how agribusinesses and organizations are making sure farm voices are heard as agencies look at potential pesticide regulations. It's all right here.
When you put your hay and forages up in the future, it'll be following the advice of a new University of Wisconsin Extension forage specialist. After about a 6 or 7 year vacancy, the university has hired Marta Coleman to be the new forage extension specialist. When Marta was with us near the northern end of the world's longest barn, she told us she has an accent for a reason. She comes from a much warmer climate.
Yes, I do have a little bit of an accent. So I grew up in Brazil. That's where I got my undergraduate degree. My undergraduate degree was as a generalist agronomist, which means that I have equal parts soil, plant, row crop, horticultural sciences, animal sciences, just a little bit of social sciences as well. And then I got a master's degree in ag engineering, looking at climatology and greenhouse gas emissions. I got a PhD in forage management, looking at ecosystem services provided by forages, so production, but also nutrient cycling. I did a little bit of work with soil carbon. And then on my postdoc, I also work with fire management in rangelands, and then also looking at animal responses, but also soil carbon, greenhouse gas emissions, nutrient cycling, and a bunch of other responses. So very, very broad background.
How long did it take you to get through all that? That's quite a resume.
Yeah, so it is a testament, I think, to how much effort I typically put on things. So I learned a whole second language to get through all my training. But I graduated from my PhD in 2017. And then I got 4 years of a postdoc after that. And then I started here. So between undergraduate degree, that was 5 years, a master's 2.5, and a PhD 3.5. It's a long way coming.
So being from Brazil, I would think naturally you'd gravitate to corn or soybeans. What took you to forages?
That's a great question. Actually, the state where I grew up, when I was very little, we do have a family farm. When I was little, it was a dairy farm, but we had some years with a lot of drought, which I'm sure people can relate to. And we ended up transitioning into a grain, mostly grain farm. But my father actually is an agronomist with a background in forages, and we maintain keeping stocker cattle during the winter time. Our winters are are very mild, so we grow forages, mostly annual ryegrass, some clovers, and oats for grazing. So that is something that I was very interested in. And I just, one of the things that I love about forages is that they serve so many different purposes. They do provide food for cattle, but they also do a lot of other things. They sequester carbon, they protect our soils, they help nutrient cycling, and I just really love that about forages.
Now, you're from Brazil. You spend a lot of time in Florida, which obviously are a little bit warmer than Wisconsin. So you're here in Wisconsin now, enjoying our non-mosquito weather here, we can call it, as cold as it is. So, Marta, what differences do you see in forage production in Wisconsin and versus Florida and Brazil?
I think the biggest difference for me is that here the systems are a lot more intensive than the other ones I've had. The other systems I worked with were a lot of times trying to increase inputs of nutrients, for example. That's one of the reasons why I was working with legumes, is that in those extensive systems, sometimes nitrogen application through fertilizer was prohibitive because of the cost. Mm-hmm. And here, it seems like it's a lot more intensive, a lot more mechanized. There are a lot of the tools that I have on my toolbox in terms of training are still going to be very relevant. So concerns with water quality, that has been an issue in Florida for a long time. Issues with persistence of pastures, looking at best management practices in terms of nutrient application, and of course, yield and quality, those things are always going to be the important aspects of forage production. The other thing I'll mention is, I think in all this place, different places that I've been, what is really touching to me is that the people that work with agriculture, I think across different places and cultures, they have a lot of the same values. So this concern with stewardship, making sure that we can leave our farms in even better shape to the next generation and providing safe, good quality food, those values come across from all different places. And I sure have seen that a lot in Wisconsin. So that's something I'm very excited about.
Marta Coleman is with us, our new forage specialist. And Marta, you mentioned, again, coming from Florida, most recently Brazil as your home country. As you see our producers here, what are some of the differences that you notice as far as production techniques? Climate, obviously, is something that drives it. But as far as the way we're producing our forages here, not just alfalfa, but forages in general.
I see a lot of manure use, which I think it's quite particular to this region of the country. So manure from dairy especially. I think that people here are very good with equipment and understanding how that affects or how to choose what is best. I think that's also very impressive. Wisconsin is, because they have both cattle and crop production oftentimes in the same place, that really puts Wisconsin producers in a huge advantage of integrating those two production systems. In other places, oftentimes those are very separate, so it's a little bit harder to, you know, make sure that you utilize that manure in areas where you need it and things like that. But that is a place where, you know, Wisconsin farmers are very well positioned to utilize, to make sure that you're circulating those resources.
And it is a new climate for you. So what mm-hmm. is your research focusing on now that you hope will be of help to our farmers and their forage production here in a cold climate?
Oh, that's a very exciting question. So I do have some research projects already ongoing. So one of them is nutrient cycling from alfalfa. I know that we focused mostly on nitrogen for corn coming from alfalfa, but I'm also interested in looking at phosphorus and potassium. So I want to really give credit to our queen of forages for everything that she does to the ecosystem. Another thing that I'm doing is I'm working with Dr. Mark Renz, who is our wheat specialist for perennial crops, in one experiment that is on grazing. So we're looking at different times of rotation and seeing how that affects pasture production, animal production, and presence of weeds. I love grazing. I think it's something that I've worked with a lot, so something I can contribute to quite a bit. I also have some work looking at manure application on alfalfa in interseeded systems. It's a bit of a novel system where you plant both corn for silage and alfalfa on the same year. If you're interested, please contact us and we have some information on that. Those are just some of the things that I'm working on, and also herbicide carryover on alfalfa establishment. So what effect do we have from a herbicide that was applied to row crops the following year to alfalfa establishment?
Watch the withdrawal rates, that's for sure. Hey, tell me about, Marta, as we go forward. One of your colleagues in Michigan, ototoxicity has always been something we've been aware of and have to be aware of in alfalfa. Give us a thumbnail about her research and what does it mean? Can we get rid of ototoxicity with breeding? What's going on?
Yes, so that researcher is Kim Cassida, who just approved a very large project from USDA, so a great support for research right there. So to my knowledge, we cannot get rid of autotoxicity, but we can get a lot better in identifying it and determining whether or not it's going to be a problem for our alfalfa establishment, because if autotoxicity is present, it can cause very significant establishment failure. So I know that she is currently working on developing a bioassay to identify that. I'm really looking forward to see the results that she's going to bring, because if we can understand or quantify how bad that autotoxicity is, or if it's present or not, then we can really get a much better grasp on when can we replant alfalfa in the field.
Have you ridden a snowmobile or got cross-country skis or gone downhill skiing yet?
Not yet. I'm a little bit of an inside cat, so I'm mostly planning to read a lot of books during this winter, but you never know.
you got to get outside and enjoy it. No bugs in the winter in Wisconsin. Marta Coleman is our new forage specialist in Wisconsin. She's at the University in Madison. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From I-43 to I-41.
This is the Talk of Green Bay.
1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
And our family of customers.
If your conversations always start with the weather, welcome to the Midwest Farm Report.
And welcome back as we kick off 2024 here on the Midwest Farm Report. Hopefully the excitement of the new year or your New Year's resolution is still around, because the weather is not particularly exciting. Stu Muck joins us. He's our ag meteorologist. The good news, Stu, is that it doesn't look like 2024 starts with any severe weather. The bad news is that it just looks pretty gloomy.
Yeah, kind of gloomy. This week is probably going to feature a lot more clouds than a lot of people would like to see. But temperatures aren't going to be in the deep freeze. I think that's a pretty good one. And we don't have, like you say, that big storm in the offing.
True. But if folks are hoping to get out on the ski hills or the ice, I haven't seen a whole lot of that on social media anyway.
No, not a lot of that going on. And over the holiday, was up near Shawano Lake, and I heard it the day after I left, somebody went through the ice up there. That's happening a little too often. We've got to be a little extra careful about some of that activity. But at least we aren't dealing with anything that's really severe or outrageous, let's put it that way. Now, let's look at what's going on right now. And today, things are going to be pretty quiet, but there will be some clouds in store. We are looking at high pressure trying to strengthen further west, but low pressure is going to try to advance a cool front out of the northwest and into our area. That cool front, I expect, passes through tomorrow. No, I really don't expect there's going to be any kind of precipitation with it. Lake effect snow, I mean, up at Hayward, those folks are going to get it. They're getting some today. They'll get some more tomorrow. But that's not the case for most of us. We are going to see more of those cloudy skies and those temperatures that will be on the above normal side. In fact, still above freezing for a couple of days. But then that cool front slides through, and I expect that does help to clear out the skies. A sunshiny day in store for Thursday, but cooler temperatures again. They'll turn right around pretty quickly, though, back up into the lower 30s as we head toward Friday in the weekend. And in the weekend, some possibility of a little light snow. The next low tries to build in from the west with some moisture pushing up out of the south. I think southern Wisconsin may be in the best position. But in the weekend, a little snow or maybe some raindrops as we head toward later in the weekend. Not a great threat, not going to amount to a whole lot, but maybe a little precipitation around at that time. That's one we can look forward to, at least as we look toward the end of this upcoming weekend. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
And Stu, I've got my fingers crossed for some of that potential snow just because I need to get out of the house and do something. Otherwise, I'll get cabin fever. But another reason that precipitation would be helpful, I don't know, how are we doing on moisture levels in the soil that'll get us prepped for the planting season?
Well, it's adding up a little. I did get the December climate summary for Madison, and at the airport in town, at least, we picked up 1.66 inches. That's 0.03 above normal. So rainfall made it. Snowfall did not. What they're telling us, normally in December, you pick up about 12 inches of snow in Madison. There was only 5 reported, so 7 inches below normal there. I did just try to pick another site, and of course it doesn't have all the complete data in store, but the Lone Rock Airport indicates that we're starting to add up a little closer to a normal level. What have I got here? Almost 30 inches of precipitation annually here. They do it month by month. So, we're trying to move in the right direction. It's going to take a little longer than just one or two systems to make that big change as well. Today, not a bad day. Let's call it mostly cloudy skies. Could be a little drizzle or freezing drizzle and some fog in southeast Wisconsin. Be on the alert. And otherwise today, I'd expect in the mid-30s, maybe 33 in the north, 35 south. Southwest winds 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy overnight, upper 20s with the west winds at 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy Wednesday in the lower 30s, 32 to 34. The west winds at 5 to 10. That cool front passes, sunny on Thursday. Upper 20s as it cools off. Northwest winds around 5 on Thursday, turn back to the south and southwest later in the day. Friday back to more clouds, but in the low 30s. And Stephanie, like I said, the weekend could feature some really light snow, and further south on toward late in the weekend, maybe some raindrops mixing with some light snow. We'll watch that develop. Maybe we'll add a little more precipitation.
Yeah, that'll certainly be a part of our conversation in the short week, Stu, because folks may be on the road yet for some holiday traveling, even though we're a little past that now.
It's getting there. I think everybody should be getting back into that work swing. Not that we want to.
Not that we want to. Thanks so much, Stu. I'll catch you back here again tomorrow morning. If you do plan on getting out on the ice, just make sure to keep those ice safety tips in mind. Check the weather. Check the ice thickness. Bring a friend and tell someone you're going. We'll catch you back here again in just a moment.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Be a part of the resistance. Check out the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Monday nights at 7 on the talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Everyone survived. The Japan Airlines Airbus A350 was landing at Haneda Airport in Tokyo on a flight from Sapporo when, as local video shows it, a large burst of fire erupted from the side of the plane, the fire eventually engulfing the entire aircraft. Japan Airlines says all 400 passengers and crew got out. Cause of the blaze is unknown. An FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force is leading the investigation after a deadly vehicle crash in Rochester, New York that turned out to be more.
That crash impact so intense it pushed vehicles into other cars and people outside a New Year's Eve celebration near Rochester, New York's Kodak Center. Rochester Police Chief David Smith says they then found something suspicious.
First responders located at least a dozen gasoline canisters.
The Joint Terrorism Task Force now investigating whether this was a planned terror attack that killed two people and injured five others in Rochester, New York. Andy Field, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's presidential primary ballot should be determined Tuesday. The Presidential Preference Selection Committee meets to decide which names will be on Wisconsin's April ballot. Last week, the Wisconsin Elections Commission threw out a complaint to keep Donald Trump's name off the ballot. Policymakers will propose new legislative maps for Wisconsin in January. The state Supreme Court has ruled the current maps unconstitutional. Bob Moline is a volunteer with a grassroots organization called Grow Action.
This is the best chance we have for truly fair maps.
and it's the right process.
Court-appointed consultants will consider the maps, and new boundaries are to be established by spring. Republicans who drew the current maps object to the idea that the boundaries are unfairly biased. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pacers snapped the Bucks' winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Pacers beat the Bucks 122-113. That snapped a 15-game winning streak at home for Milwaukee. Giannis had 30 points, but Damian Lillard hit only 3 of 16 shots from the floor.
It's part of the game. You know, I think that's the first thing. Sometimes you just, the ball doesn't go in. I thought tonight, as somebody who shoots the ball, I felt like a lot they were all going in.
The Bucks play the Pacers again Wednesday in Indianapolis. College football. Wisconsin loses to LSU in the ReliaQuest Bowl, 35-31. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
This hurts. I think we had every opportunity. Our guys did about everything they could to put us in a position that that this is what we wanted. We wanted an opportunity to get this thing to the fourth quarter and find a way to finish. And that's probably been as big of our Achilles heel all year. You know, starting fast was one of those things that we hadn't done well all year, and finishing is the other one.
That's Luke Fickle with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic.
Sunshine and a little breezy this morning. It is going to become mostly cloudy as we head through the afternoon. Our high today, 34, with wind out of the southwest gusting to 25 or 30 this morning, backing off to 5 to 15 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, 26 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun, a few flurries with a high of 33. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10, on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Mino and the Mayor.
How many calories or how many steps? Todd and I talked about that,
right,
didn't we?
We got to do that. And then we'll do a contest. We'll have people guess what that might be. And then the closest one without going over, like Bob Barker, we'll give them a right.
Okay. So we have to have the betting line on the over-under on that, right?
I don't know how that works.
We know a two-hour radio show burns 8.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks
or stereotypes? Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Yeah, she didn't have to.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you combine pajamas and rubber boots to check on the barn, we welcome you. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. We're kicking off the work week of 2024 this morning. And today is the day that folks tend to start their New Year's resolutions. Not me, though. I did not make one. My Uber driver on Sunday night did have a good one. He's going to read a chapter of a book every day. And I hope it works out for him. I just haven't had luck in sticking to a New Year's resolution. But there are a few New Year's resolutions that if you would like to get started, today is the best day to do it. And this is according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. January 2nd is the best day to quit smoking. Today is also the best day to start a diet to lose weight. Too bad it's also National Cream Puff Day. But those are two resolutions that are in your favor right now. The good news is that there are 2 days every month that are a good day to start doing these things. So if you mess up, you can try again on either January 7th or February 4th. Those are the next good days to either quit smoking or start a weight loss diet, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac. Maybe another New Year's resolution is to stay informed on what's happening in policy today that could affect your farm. And if so, I've got news for you. There are some regulations in the work right now that will have an impact on farmers' wallets. Mary Kay Thatcher joins us. She's the senior manager of federal government and industry relations with Syngenta. And Mary Kay says the Environmental Protection Agency is under the gun right now to abide by some Endangered Species Act requirements. And in order to meet those requirements, the EPA is creating a pesticide regulation. The new framework would essentially require farmers to gain points through conservation practices in order to get herbicide. Mary Kay says farmers and agribusinesses need to keep their eye on where this proposal is moving.
The mitigation things are expensive. It's like you'll put in a cover crop. You'll have a fairly wide buffer strip. You'll put in vegetative tillage. You'll reduce pesticide usage by 40%. Really things that are going to cost farmers a lot of money. I mean, we've been talking a lot of farm bill kind of things, and farmers are obviously interested, but the fact is this EPA proposal will mean a lot more to whether farmers can keep money in their pocket than will the farm bill. It's just a very draconian measure.
Nearly 1,500 farmers had voiced concern about this proposed framework for the reasons that you listed. The point system is really complex. There's a lack of affordable options for growers. What solutions are ag businesses like Syngenta bringing to the table where they could reach a compromise?
Well, I think we're saying that, you know, implementing these mitigation efforts before you know if anything happens is just not acceptable, because farmers could live under these mitigation practices for 3 or 4 years before you ever find out if Fish and Wildlife is going to say the endangered species is a problem. So we have to backtrack that and find a way to slow the lawsuits, but to indeed not say we're going to mitigate just because we can. We also are trying diligently to sort of educate EPA about some things. I mean, one of the provisions in the bill says that if I want to use a pesticide on my farm, I have to go to the local Fish and Wildlife Service 3 months before I'm going to apply the pesticide to get permission. Well, how do I know what pest I'm going to have 3 months down the road? I mean, it's like common sense when a farmer thinks about it, but it wasn't common sense at EPA. So there's a lot going on just trying to educate EPA. I mean, there's another provision in there about, well, if the weather service says it's going to rain 48 hours before you're going to apply, you can't apply. Well, really, you know, which weather service do we believe? What time of day? How does that work? And of course, you know, if you say that, shoot, they can predict it's going to rain for 3 weeks in a row at my farm. It never does. I could have applied it, but now they've put off the ability to apply the pesticide for 3 weeks.
Mary Kay, is there a timeline for when this proposal could become an actual regulation? Is there a hearing period? Give me a sense of the timeline here.
So we're in a comment period right now, and we were successful in extending the comment period so we can make more people aware of it. Again, as I said, people want to look at the farm bill, but really, if you want to look at something, you better pay attention to what's happening at EPA.
We're speaking with Mary Kay Thatcher. She's the Senior Manager of Federal Government and Industry Relations with Syngenta, and we talk about the farm bill also. She says just because the 2023 farm bill deadline has been extended to the fall of 2024, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a lot more time for discussion. She says the upcoming election year might make farm bill negotiations messy.
It only probably got us till about May of next year. If we try to pass it closer to the November election than that, it just doesn't happen. There's too much politics tied up. And when you think about the fact that we also kicked the can down the road on all these appropriations bills, some of which will, you know, have to come to fruition on January 19th, some on February 2nd, we're not going to do anything else till we finish that. So we're at a fairly small time frame to be able to really get this done. And, you know, I would say there's at least a 50-50 chance it doesn't get done until 2025 instead of 2024. Saying that, however, I think one thing that is really good is that the troops really have rallied around crop insurance, be it companies like mine or the lending institutions or farm groups, about just how important it is and how important having a strong crop insurance program is to getting away from some of the ad hoc disaster assistance. While I think that assistance has absolutely been necessary, whether it's through COVID or the tit-for-tat trade war, et cetera, you know, that money doesn't pay out very timely. Oftentimes it's a couple of years after you have the disaster before it pays out. It never seems quite fair. They keep changing the rules on this is how we paid out this time, this is the next. So crop insurance is such a predictable option. I think that, you know, continuing to have good support for that is going to be a really important safety net for farmers.
And it sounds like optimism there, because it seems like that's something everyone can agree on.
I agree. I think everyone is agreeing. I mean, I think you'll see some changes in the fruit and vegetable sector, which need to happen. I mean, it's much more difficult for an insurance company to come in and really be able to cover fruits and vegetables, especially, you know, pretty much if you don't have 5 apple growers in the county, you're not going to be able to get an insurance policy because they don't know what's actually sound. Well, you got a lot of counties that don't have 5 apple growers or 5 orange growers or, you know, whatever it may be. So it's harder to do, but I think there is going to be some effort to pump that up, and that'll be a positive.
Why does Syngenta have skin in the game at the Capitol? But where do you fit into this picture?
Well, at a very high level, we look at it as, you know, if our farmers prosper, we prosper. If our farmers don't prosper, we're not going to prosper either. So we want to be very supportive of what our partners need and want. You know, we find it really important to be there because, you know, again, if I go back to this EPA issue, there are so many complexities about that we have to work in tangent with the farm and commodity groups to make sure we all have enough knowledge and we have enough a volume of people to get something positive done.
Mary Kay Thatcher speaking to two big topics in Washington, D.C. As we just heard, one is the farm bill negotiations that will continue through the fall of 2024. Again, there's some uncertainty as to if that deadline will be met. And earlier in our conversation, more pressing news regarding pesticide regulations. The Environmental Protection Agency has proposed a framework in order to protect endangered species, but agriculture groups such as Syngenta are saying it doesn't protect farmers. Mary Kay Thatcher is the Senior Director of Federal Government and Industry Relations with Syngenta. When you think of tools on the farm, you may think of tractors, robotic milkers, or a fence post driver. Well, add prenup to the list. That's right, a prenuptial agreement can be a tool to protect the farm's legacy when the unspeakable happens. Attorney Troy Schneider out of Chilton, Wisconsin, says when a farm family is writing up their prenuptial agreement, it's important to make sure that you're telling the farm story.
In the agricultural setting, it's really important that the prenuptial agreement tell the story, okay? The story is kind of like in the most typical, especially family farms, is, hey, we spent the, you know, multiple generations acquiring all these assets, okay? And we're not using these assets to sell them. We're looking at these assets to use them to, quite frankly, borrow more money so we can keep expanding and improving the farm. And really telling the story about how it's really important that these assets be available, okay, so that all family members can use them to the betterment of the entire family.
You can listen to the full conversation with attorney Troy Schneider out of Chilton at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just search prenup. We'll get more agribusiness news in just a moment with market advisor John Heinberg, who joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He'll give us some insight into what to expect coming out of the holiday weekend when it comes to our grain markets. I can tell you right now that his eyes are on what's happening in South America. We'll get to that next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. This includes a commitment to news. Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Family, Goodman's Jewelers.
Bringing home the bacon. Literally, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
And what better way to begin a new year than with market advisor John Heinberg. John joins us live from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Happy New Year to you, John.
Happy New Year to you as well.
And what a perfect time to have you on, because we can pick your brain about what to expect in the new year. I know you say you don't have a crystal ball, but you're the closest thing to it. And the first thing I wanted to talk with you about is, you said it's going to be important to watch the money flow in 2024, especially in the first part. And this is because we're already seeing some eyebrows raise at the fund selling happening in agriculture. Why don't you break that down for us?
You know, a big part of the agricultural prices and how things move in terms of price is the way the money moves in the investment accounts of managed money positions and things of that nature. And that's something that's really been kind of coming into play here, I think, in terms of the pressure in the agriculture sector, as the money has been aggressively been selling the ag space overall, not just the grains, the livestock sector as well as some of the softs that are out there. And we're seeing the fund position continue to grow. In fact, now we're at their shortest they've been in the ag sector in about 3.5 years in terms of their actual money flow. Now, that's tied to a couple different things. First off, in the grain sector, you know, corn had a rough year. We're down about 30% year over year in the value of the corn price. A lot of that is also tied to the large supply picture that we're seeing here in the U.S. that's projected. We'll see how things go as we go forward. The concerns regarding demand, big factor in that as well, as the funds have pushed that corn market fairly aggressively. about 170,000, 180,000 short contracts last week. It's the largest position since realistically the COVID low back in 2020. And right now there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of need to get out of there. Another big factor, the anti-inflation mindset. We've seen inflation calm down, the action of the Fed, the loosening of the U.S. dollar. Those things all kind of come into play. And those are things that are anti in terms of commodity price at this time frame. And the money seems to be still staying on that path. Now, as 2024 comes in, we'll see if things change, at least maybe in that regard. Obviously, there's a lot of factors in play, but at least going into the end of the year, they were a big push in selling these agricultural commodities.
And you said you don't know how long this is going to continue.
You know, realistically, and especially in the grains, it comes down to finally does come down to the fundamentals and what's going to make them want to get out of that short position, whether it's on the news front. Obviously, you know, we had the Ukraine war here, you know, a couple of years ago that helped fire things up, move money into the grain sector and the concerns regarding global production. You know, a strong weather event would be a big factor. Obviously, we got the weather going on in Brazil right now, which seems to be improving. So that's only added to the selling pressure here, you know, over the last couple of weeks. You know, something like that's going to have to come into play to really make this, you know, the money nervous and want to get out of these short positions. Because right now the path of least resistance, at least for them, still continues to be softer.
And John, let's talk about Brazil's weather and the crop they've got in the ground. And because that's got a, what's happening in South America has a huge impact on what we see here domestically on the corn and bean side. So what is the headline that's driving things today?
You know, right now it's improved weather forecast. Decent rain came across some key areas of Brazil again over the weekend. That was anticipated by the market. I think that was some of the weakness we saw at the end of the year there, the last couple trading days last week. You know, some of that did materialize. You know, there's issues there. There's some areas that have lost production. The amount is going to be the hard part. We're trying to figure that out down the road. You know, social media and the internet is full of pictures of failing crops and struggling crops, or farmers, you know, wiping their crop out to get ready for the next crop just because of lack of production. But at the same time, Brazil is an immensely large country when you talk about size. You know, they're still planting in some regions, harvesting in the other regions. You know, so it's going to be a tough get in terms of figuring out where this production finally comes in. We expect the crop right now, the market's probably thinking around 150 million metric tons. That's down about 15 million metric tons. But just to put it in perspective, in 2021, you know, 150 million metric ton production will still be smaller than where we would be this year, despite the weather. So we add that in. Still a lot of beans coming out of South America. Argentina production is going to get back on track this year after 2 years of drought. There's going to be a lot of pressure on price down the road, and that's going to continue to make things difficult for the markets to really find some footing as long as we continue to struggle overall on the demand side.
You know, are they still the cheapest option on the world market?
Right now, in this short-term window, we are, in terms of grains for both corn and soybeans. But soybeans can quickly fall apart here as we get a little further into the next couple of months and we start seeing more and more of that early harvest come to play. And then those Argentina beans start showing up. And, you know, that's going to be one that's really going to make it difficult for the marketplace. We're already seeing the impact on the soybean meal price with Argentina's crop coming. So we'll have to kind of watch how that comes together. You know, the delayed or the poor harvest in Brazil may be more of a fall factor as China looks for their beans in the end of the year. Right when we hit our harvest window this year, they had a good supply of Brazilian beans to compete against the U.S. bean. Next year, that might not be there, and that could give us some price again at the harvest side of things. But at least in the front end, when it comes down to flat price here in the next few weeks, beans are going to could be in trouble given those lower South American supplies. Corn, on the other hand, we're the only game in town. We've seen that market start to pick up. We're hitting that export window, which hopefully can get us some floor in this corn price, at least get us supported as we still figure out where we are in terms of U.S. production and start thinking about 2024's crop.
So, John, following the money, watching that money flow, and then keeping an eye on headlines such as weather in Brazil, those are things that are top of mind for you. What else, though, do producers need to stay on top of in 2024, at least in this first part here?
you know, let's see how the demand goes. That's going to be a big factor. But then we got a couple big things coming at us here in the next couple of months that are really going to be a driver for price, especially in the corn market, I think, going forward. First off, the January 12th report, that'll be our final production estimates. The market's anticipating the corn yield to go higher, given some of the late harvest numbers that we saw. Then we start talking about 2024. What are we going to put in the ground for acres? That'll come out in the March report in terms of anticipated acres for corn and soybeans. So we'll have to watch and see what that number gets us, because that's going to set the goalposts for the entire summer based on the acres, trend line potential yields, and where we are in the longer term demand picture. So those things on the radar here are going to be things that are going to affect us basically for that grain market in the entire summer.
John, in the next couple, 30 seconds here, any optimism? What stands out to you in terms of optimism for the first part of 24?
You know, the global demand still needs to pick up, and that's something we need to focus on. But, you know, all these things we talk about, the negative view that we got to have right now, can all change in the blink of the eye if weather doesn't cooperate.
John Heinberg along with us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You can find him pretty easy online at totalfarmmarketing.com. Thanks for coming on with us again, John, and Happy New Year. And thanks for kicking off 2024 with me on a Tuesday. Tomorrow morning, we'll tune in to hear about Pam Yonke's visit with Foremost Farms. I'm Stephanie Hoff. I'll catch you back here again tomorrow.
We're getting put out to pasture for today. Back tomorrow morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Ag lenders expect softer results for U.S. farmers in 2024. Up next on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Net farm income dropped this past year for U.S. farmers. No surprise, given that 2022 was a record high year for farm income and production costs typically rose for farmers in 23. Secondary market farm lender Farmer Mac surveyed the ag lending community in August, and Farmer Mac senior economist Blaine Nelson says there's concern about farm liquidity.
Part of that, I believe, just looking at some of our internal data and what the USDA is putting out, is that folks are using their working capital. Even with elevated incomes, they're using their working capital to pay for things, both because stuff costs more, you know, from an input standpoint, and because interest rates have spiked the way that they have. So it's not as cheap to borrow money these days.
Nelson says ag lenders surveyed also worried about inflation.
You know, it's top of mind, right? And input costs are still elevated, even if they have come back a little bit. So that's part of it. I think the other piece is higher inflation raises the likelihood of higher interest rates for longer. And that becomes a concern just in terms of another expense item for producers when you're already talking about declining commodity prices.
Another survey item, how crop insurance protects farm income. Since that's one of the talking points in the current farm bill debate, I'll cover that tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on. Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown. Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.